Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept, because it neither sees nor knows him. But you know him, because he remains in you and will be with you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live and you will live. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
No, sometimes logic is a good thing, but sometimes logic can work against us. The old logical statement is that if A equals B and B equals C, then obviously A equals C. Perfectly reasonable. But when we apply that to the gospel, we might come up with something that isn't very settling for us. Because if that's the case, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And yet we say we love Jesus, but at the same point, do we say we keep his commandments? The Ten Commandments. Can we say that we don't lie, or that we're not excessively proud, or that we're not lustful, or that we don't put other things before God? Because if we make that statement, that we are sinners, then we are actually saying, logically speaking, that we don't love God because we don't keep his commandments. Is that what Jesus is trying to tell us here? He's trying to show us that we don't love him. I don't think so. I think what he realizes is it's something that we need to realize, and that is the only way we can survive in this world is with love. It's the only thing. Without love, nothing will survive. And we know love has its essence in the love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three persons in one God. And so in that case, God is the author of love. And if he is the author of love, then if we seek to be with God, if we seek to live a life that has happiness in it, that has joy and has meaning, then it must have love. But the Lord knows that that love we have is oftentimes not quite on the mark. Our love and God's love are very, very different things. To say God loves you and then to have someone say that they love you are very different things. But it's clear from Christ's perspective. He says, if you say you love me and you keep my commandments, I will send someone to help you keep these commandments. We know that they're hard. I heard today 21st Confessions of second graders. And they know how hard it is. They got brothers and sisters that drive them crazy. They're trying to hide the stupid things they do, and they'll tell little lies to get out of trouble. They know these kind of things. But they also know now, because of the recognition of God's mercy, that they can come to him and he can teach them how to really love. And that's really the point. The point is, can we say we love God enough? And anyone who says that you love God enough, you're not really trying very hard. Because we can never love God enough. To say we can love God enough is to say that we're God. But we find ourselves slowly but surely having to go to this school of love. And the school of love is the school of life. And we know that there's a lot of things in life that aren't very lovable at first glance. But we do know that just because there are things in life that aren't lovable doesn't mean we shouldn't love life. It's kind of like a couple and they get married and the first year of their marriage, everything is wonderful. Seventh heaven, you know, just no problems whatsoever. And then after a while, you begin to discover about your spouse, there are certain things that annoy you and drive you crazy. And as much as you love them, you don't love all of them. If you could just learn to put the lid down or learn to shut the door at night. Was he raised in a barn or what? I mean, can he learn to help me around the house and take out the garbage? There's a whole litany I'm sure you're going through in your head right now. The Lord is telling us love is a school, and love is something which we are not complete in. You can't love your spouse enough yet. And if that's the case, if you can't love someone who is finite and created, how can we reach to the Lord? And that desire to reach to love as God loves is something that Christ calls each of us to do. Because he gives us the help. He says, I know it's hard for you. I know the number one thing that stands in the way of our love is ourselves. Our weaknesses, our biases, the things we don't like. Those are all obstacles that keep us from fully being able to express this love. And so the Lord's going to work on us over time. He's going to tend to show us the big picture, and we're going to tend, as we grow older, as we grow hopefully a little bit wiser, a little bit more common sense, we begin to understand a more deep understanding of love, beyond this idea of infatuation, to the question of a deep faithfulness, a deep commitment, recognizing the fact that God, who is our teacher and the one who created us, is totally committed to us and utterly faithful to us. When we think about that kind of a commitment, we measure our love for God and we see that there is quite a distance there. But just because there is a distance doesn't mean we need to lose the desire to give up trying. All those people that we call saints in the church, if you ask any one of them, even if you could talk to them in heaven, they would still probably tell you, I don't love God enough. Not to let them sound neurotic or somehow incomplete, but just to recognize the fact that what they have received is far greater than what they can begin to give. But yet they know every day a little bit more of love, a little bit more of sacrifice, a little bit more suffering, a little bit more obedience, a little bit more faithfulness to God and to neighbor, all of a sudden begins to change how we look at the world. And the ultimate love that we have for God is to love God simply for being God. It's great to love God because of all the things that he does for us. But if God was doing nothing for you, would you still love him? That's the big question. I used to tease people. I said, I always knew my niece and nephews loved me when I brought them gifts. But when I didn't bring them gifts, they were nowhere to be seen. Oh, you're here. You got anything for us? No. They have nothing to do with you. And sometimes we'll do that with the Lord. You got something for me today, Lord? I'll pay a little of attention. But just as kids tend to view this way, our own view of God has to grow and recognize that we don't love them because of what they do. We love God because of who he is. His perfection, his great beauty, and all those gifts that he constantly showers on us, not because we deserve it, but simply because he wants to share it. The great generosity of God is something that's always very evident for us in our Catholic faith. The generosity of his word that comes to us every day. The generosity of the sacraments, especially the body and blood, which tells us what love is. If we want to know the definition of love, we look to the crucifix and we look to the altar. And there we see the depth of God's love. And we then look at our love, and sometimes we look at the stuff we hold in our hands, and it doesn't seem to be much. But if we can add a little bit more of ourself, make a little bit more of an offering of those things that bother us, or reach out to someone, or reconcile with someone who has hurt us, to take that little bit of love on for us is a huge step in God's eyes. A small step for us. But it's a step that we must make nevertheless. The Lord will send us the Holy Spirit as our teacher. He'll also send the Holy Spirit as our tutor. And so now within the next 2 weeks, we'll be preparing to celebrate the great feast of Pentecost, the descent of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit that is already in our midst will teach us what love is, and that as life comes to us with all its ups and downs, let us pray that we will see the one constant, the one unchanging thing that life has is God's love for us. And let us then pray that our love will change, that our love will be able to grow, our love will be able to increase, our love will be able to become perfected, or all that we can ever give. And when we do that, then we can say we've made a pretty good start at loving God.